Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you feel the presence of the Lord here this morning? I trust you can. I feel Him in my moving in my soul, and I'm so glad that He is revealing Himself to us here this morning. If you have your Bibles, you would turn with me to Exodus chapter 20 and find verse 8. I want to read something to you this morning about what someone once said about Sunday. Our great-grandparents called it the Holy Sabbath. Our grandparents called it the Lord's Day. Our parents called it Sunday. And we call it the weekend. You see the difference? Our great-grandparents called this day the Holy Sabbath. Our grandparents called this day the Lord's Day. Our parents called this day Sunday. But we all call it the weekend. Look at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Our time together is entitled, The Hallowed Has Been Hallowed. Will you bow with me in prayer? Father, this morning we bow our souls before you. Father, I pray for a free spirit this morning, God, that like John the Revelator said in Revelations, that on the day of the Lord, he was in the Spirit. And this morning, God, we want to be no other place than in your Spirit. Father, we pray now that each and every heart may be open and submissive to our King. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The hallowed has been hallowed. What did he mean this morning in verse 11 when he said he blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it? He made this day holy. This Sabbath day, this Saturday in the Old Testament was blessed by God and it was hallowed, which means he made that day holy beyond any of the other 6 days. And he gave us some insight. He told us how to work. 6 days shall we do all of our labor. But he said, on that seventh day, remember it to keep it holy. Not to make it holy. See, many times we come and we try and force an issue. We try to force worship. We try to force holiness. We cannot manufacture holiness. He has already manufactured the holiness of this day. We have just been asked very simply by God, the manufacturer, to maintain this day. So it is not of us to make this day holy. We cannot hallow the Sabbath, but we are capable of making it hollow. Empty, without any holiness. So this morning, may we be reminded as we get into the message, it is not possible for us to make this day holy. Never. But we are capable of making it hollow. Empty. We need to maintain what has already been manufactured by God Himself. What is Sunday good for? Socrates said this, an unexamined life is not worth living. A church that is being unexamined is not worth attending. A Christianity, a relationship with the Father, is not worth having unless you're going to examine it. And this morning we slide Sunday or we slide the Sabbath under the microscope and we examine it with our time given to us this morning. But when you look at God in Genesis 2:2, what did He do? He says that on the seventh day, listen, this is before mankind. This is before He gives the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai. After they had left the bondage of Egypt for all those years, they had no rules. All they knew by the Egyptians were, do what I tell you to do. And they were spoon-fed every moment of every day. They were in captivity. They were in bondage. They were not free. But they were slaves. So God said, my people called by my name must have some rules to live and abide by, to be able to live through this life and know that we are living up to the expectations that God has given to us. But in Genesis 2, before all of that, in verse 2, He says, and on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. You think about that. But then you think about Exodus 31:17. Listen to this. This is just so powerful. Listen to this. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested, and watch this, and was refreshed. God was refreshed. God was. But when you think about society, and you think about America, and you think about the drive, the mentality that is in mind that we have set, it is to go, go, go. But how long can we violate the rules that God has set in place? This body that He has given you, how can we continue to go? D.L. Moody said that Saturday was his day of rest. Because on Sunday, he knew he would have to preach the Word of God. But isn't it amazing that when God was separating, He did not separate the priest from this Sabbath day. He did not refrain from those who had to make the sacrifice because that entailed work. But D.L. Moody said that Saturday was his Sabbath because Sunday he had to work. Think about this morning. What is a Sabbath? It is taking a break. It is resting. Think about this for a minute. Sunday in our minds. Let's get this together, okay? We get this part here and we'll move on. Sundays in our minds is, a lot of time the emphasis is on worship, worship, worship. But when you look back at Exodus 20 and verse 8, what did He say? He said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Very simple. It's not that we have to go through some complex program this morning or some plan. It is that God has told us. He said, what I want you to do is remember it. But also remember that this is not the first time that it's been put in place. Because God Almighty Himself took and celebrated the first Sabbath in Genesis 2:2. He was refreshed because He took a Sabbath. And He passed it on down to His creation that He created in His own image. And He knew that it was vital that you and I observe this Sabbath to remember it, to keep it holy, not make it holy. A lot of time we come in trying to force the issue. No, He said just keep it like it is. Don't make it what you want it to be. Very important when it comes to worship. Now, could it be that Sundays have been hallowed because it's just another day? Think about this for a minute. When I went on my trip to the vineyard, and we went out and they were giving us this tour, We walked outside and they opened these big double barn doors. I like barn doors. But they opened these big barn doors and they opened them up and we looked out across that mountain. And I saw what I shared with you last week. I seen the location, that site that was given on the hillside so that they could have room to expand and excavate the mountain in order to terrace it so it would have room to grow and air to flow. And what God did when He sanctioned this day, He declared a specific location. He says, on the seventh day, I ended my work and we rested and He was refreshed. So He declared a location. And this morning we have to come to a place to where we know that God has declared a location. A distinct, specific time in which we are to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. I read on to you this morning the three things why Christians keep their Sabbath. You know that, you know the story, you know in the Old Testament that the seventh day is Saturday. That's why Seventh-day Adventists, they still go to church on Saturday. You know, have church on Saturday, and they visit them because it is the Old Testament rule, the Old Testament law. But we worship on Sunday. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Now, you watch this very closely now, because this here ought to really speak to your hearts, okay? And this ought to give you new light about Sunday. Because I'm fixing to give you three reasons. Now, there are others, but for the sake of time, I'm going to give you three reasons why we as Christians still observe Sunday as our Sabbath. Why we do in the New Testament. Not under the law of God, but under the grace of God. Let me give you the first one. To commemorate the resurrection of Jesus was on Sunday. Let me share this with you. The Bible says in Matthew 28, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Mark 16:9. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week. Hey, what's the first day of the week, church? I'm not convinced. What's the first day of the church? What? Hold on a minute. What's the first day of the week, church? Amen. All right, now check this out. Jesus rose from the grave on the first day of the week. Early in the morning. Well, doesn't that just kind of make sense? Isn't that a no-brainer? Because you can't get sun out of Saturday. Hey, early in the morning, what leaves the horizon? Darkness. Because the sun's coming up. Guess what happened on that Sunday morning? The darkness of sin had to leave the horizon because the sun had rose from the grave. And He broke the bondage. He broke the slavery. But all He asks is, He says, now you have to come to Me and accept the free gift of grace, that unmerited favor. I can't just go out and pour it in your heart. He said, but I've done everything necessary for you to escape hell, come to heaven, spend eternity with Me, but not only that, but to live in the joy of the Lord the rest of your days. And that's what He's given us. The Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected. Now, what's this? That's a little bit over 2,000 years ago. On this same morning, the tomb could not hold Him. He had to open the tomb, not that He could get out, but so that men could come in. And it was on this morning. But guess what? We rode to church this morning. Watch this. I got something for you. You'll like this. Where'd it go? Watch this. Sunday is viewed as a special day. Is it? Why? Christians put more regard on payday sometimes than the Lord's Day. Watch this. How many of you get pretty excited about pulling that check every week?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, give me a little. Mm-mm. Yeah. Amen. Have you ever, or do you ever, get more excited about that day than you do the Lord's day? Watch out now. Watch this. How many of you put more regard on a Saturday morning hunt than you do Sunday morning holiness? Can you get a little, Yeah. Come on, I ain't done. Stay with me now. Y'all come on back. How about more regard on overtime, which is other known as OT on Sunday, than G-O-D on Sunday? Yeah, all this is right out of the Mac Daddy library. Given divinely by the Holy Spirit of God. How about this one? How about more regard on physical food than spiritual food? You ever got to church in the morning time and you all jacked up? Boy, we going to the track of fire. You get with your buddies. Hey, man, where are you going? Because you buying. I just need to know where you going. But you get so excited. You ever come to church and you're more excited about mama's cooking than you is about the manna that God wants to drop down on us? It happens, don't it? I can tell you some of you are more interested in physical food than spiritual food. Because people will get up and leave the church if it's a certain time. Huh? Let's just be honest. Ain't we in a good place to be honest? It's always a good place to be honest. My truth is this. There are days and events during our week that excite us more than the Christian Sabbath. How about this one? Monday night football. Woo-hoo-hoo. Easy preacher. I'm preaching to the preacher. I love a Monday night during football season. But do I ever get more jacked up and more prepared for a Monday night game than I do a Sunday night service? Don't say that. How about Sunday football? How about a Sunday race? Boy, I'm going to get to watch Jimmy Johnson. Boo. But you more jacked up. So Mark Martin ain't going to get it. What I'm just trying to tell you is you're more jacked up about Jimmy Johnson running a NASCAR race. The Daytona 500 would maybe mean more than some of us if we would be honest with ourselves about church. Come on. You with me this morning? Amen. Because you know it and I know it and you know it and I know it and I know it and you know it. That there are more spiritual days that we put more emphasis on in the run of a week than Sunday. Because it's just another day. Guess how many of you this morning, I want you to let this sit in. They, some of you come to church this morning just because it was 9:30 or 10:30. You got a schedule to keep. And some of you did it and you know it right now. You feel the conviction in your pew. Some of you did it, and you don't feel the conviction. It's going to hit you on the way home. Or right time you go touch the tube for that race. Or that game. It happened. I want to share with you the Word of God on the second point. Not only is this the day that Jesus... See, I get so excited. Let me let my ignorance run for a minute. Can I, or have I already started? I just get jacked up because I believe that God Himself said, don't forget about this day. I believe that God said, you just need to keep it holy. There's nothing you can do to go into God's house and make it holy. He said, just come maintain what I've manufactured. That's all I want you to do. And you come in here, and it's God's day, and you have the emphasis, and you're looking forward to this day. See, in the run of the week, we should say, Sunday's coming. Everybody you see, tell them I'll see you Sunday. That's right. Because we go into God's house to worship Jesus Christ. And that ought to excite you. Because see, if you ask God every day for your will to be done, guess what the one who lives inside of you is going to test you. Do you not think that Jesus, the one who's supposed to, if he don't live inside you this morning, you realize when you stand before God, Jesus cannot plead your case. Because John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. I don't care how good you are, how many works you've done, how much money you've given or donated. I don't care. You're not going to heaven. Now, you go get there in that little side room where they judge you, but you're not going to heaven. It's Jesus Christ. But I will ask you this morning, why'd you come to church this morning? Be honest. Because, see, we got to break this barrier. Some come this morning because you had a responsibility to teach Sunday school. You want to know why I know that's so apparent? Because some of you, once your responsibilities are no longer yours and you take a break, you take a break. But the times you would come on Sunday morning to worship is because you had a responsibility the hour prior to. But once you didn't have that responsibility, you're just a freeloader now. God done retired you. You can do what you want to, obviously. This is God's day. This is not a day to go get overtime at work because the bills ain't caught up. You're putting more faith in the almighty dollar than you are the almighty God. Have I worked Sundays? Probably enough for me and you. But we use the rule sometimes, the ox is in the ditch, preacher. The best thing you can do is get your shotgun right after we leave here and go shoot your ox. Or come to my shop and borrow the tobacco and cover that ditch up so he can't fall in it no more. But if you're using the excuse that you're having to work two jobs, three jobs, four jobs, five jobs, or work overtime on Sunday, you have missed the picture. Because God didn't say in Exodus 20, any of you that need to work, I'm not going to meet your need. You need to work and just forget about the Sabbath and don't worry about keeping it holy. Is there an exception to the rule anywhere? Is there an exception? No. Now, do we have people who work in restaurants on Sunday? Yeah. But if they didn't go, you wouldn't eat. That's right. Guess what God did for the manna that fell from heaven the day before the Sabbath, which would have been a Friday night then because the Sabbath was a Saturday. He dropped enough for Saturday down on Friday night, on Friday. And he said that portion would not spoil. Like the others would, if they didn't get it up before the sun come up, it would wax it to the ground. He said he put a double portion. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing that probably ain't going to cure our problem this morning. Getting our wives to cook too enough on Saturday night for Sunday ain't going to happen. But some of us ain't getting enough on Saturday. Is that not the truth? Amen. I can tell you right now, that ain't going to heal my house. It'll heal my waistline, but it's not going to heal my house. But I'll tell you what's going to heal and bring the Sabbath back. And we as Christians have got to bring it back because the world's not going to bring it back. We have to stake claim to what God has already given to us. And all he said do is remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. But he said take a rest. Now I'm going to give you something else this morning. It's just kind of like teach and preach. Rest don't necessarily mean you laying down taking a nap. Because I don't get one. If it is, I'm just not going to make it to heaven because I'm not being obedient. Do you really think that God went in there and took a nap? Now, listen, I encourage naps. If you can get them, take one and take one for the preacher. But what he did was he took a break. Why did he take a break? Watch this. You know the scriptures. Watch this. He took a break and he looked at what he had done the 6 days prior to the Sabbath. Watch this. And he said, we know he examined it, right? Why? Because he said, it is good. How many of us take a rest on the Sabbath to reflect on the 6 days prior to what we are today and wonder whether or not it's good or bad? See, you can never get a good, clear picture of your house until you walk out to your living room and turn around. All you can do is just imagine what it looks like. Try to draw a picture. You're never going to be able to look and correct what's in your life until you take a break, a recess, a time to reflect on the 6 days that led up to the Sabbath. Now watch this. You also need to take time to look forward to the 6 days that's coming, so that you can take your 6 days prior to and learn from them and build from them, so that the 6 days now they're going to follow will be better than the 6 days prior to. But unless we as believers, unless we as Christians take that rest on the Sabbath, every single week, he said. He didn't put the Sabbath once a month. He has given us a Christian Sabbath that is weekly. And he has said the greatest way of survival and joy in your Christian life is going to be that you take a break, a reset. Can I tell you what that means? Let me give you a couple examples. There is no way, if I were y'all, I would go out and plan my grocery shopping day to be on a Sunday. That's absurd. Will you ever see me at Walmart or the grocery store? Yes, you will. I've been there before. I'll drop in sometimes, something, need something. But do I plan it? No. But some of us plan to go to the grocery store on Sunday because we're taking advantage of the other Christians who you're supposed to be like taking a break that day. Does that not make sense? Because you're taking advantage of what you're supposed to be doing, trying to get the smaller crowd. But you planned that day. Can I ask you something? Did you take a break from the grind that week if you're doing grocery shopping? Sunday, is Sunday a day to sit down now because it's quiet and peaceful and work up all your bills that's coming up that week? Is Sunday a day that we're supposed to plan all these big events? Some people say, I like to cut grass on that day, preacher, because I just get peace. Well, listen, we can make a lot of excuses for what we do on Sunday, but the truth is, he said, take a break. Can I tell you this? Sundays is not supposed to be a day that you schedule and plan all of your recreational events. How can you put it this way, whatever you put it, you judge yourself. He said, take a break, a rest. And what you have to do this morning inside your own self is figure out, what do I do every day that I need to stop doing on the Sabbath? Because if I'm doing the same old thing every day, guess what Sunday's going to be? It's another day. It's another day, but I went to church. It's just another day. No, it's not just another day. It is a day that God has sanctioned and He has made it holy, and He has asked us to come into God's house so that we can be rested and so that we can be refreshed and so that we can reflect on our lives. But you can't reflect on a life if you're too busy living it every day. You've got to step out for a minute and examine your life. The only way you're ever going to see your x-rays is if you get out of the machine. Am I right? They can take an x-ray and examine your life in that CAT scan machine that they ain't never getting me back in. That MRI? No, no. Not without drugs. I ain't going in there. I'm claustrophobic, buddy. I'll tear up something. I can't hardly breathe right now thinking about it. Let's move on. But the only way I'm ever going to see that x-ray is to get out of that machine and take a step back. But you can never examine your own life if you're too busy living it. Take a minute. He said every week. Every week. Because He knows we're forgetful people. He knows we'll put God on the back burner. He said, just remember it. He said, I just want you just to remember it. And I just want you to leave it alone and keep it holy. But you've got to take time to rest and reflect in order for you can rejoice. And those are prerequisites for worship. You can't just jump into worship, church. It's the process. It's leading up to. And you've got to have the mindset in your mind with the attitude that Sunday's coming. Boy, I might be down in the dumps. I had a miserable Monday, a terrible Tuesday, a worried Wednesday, another terrible Thursday, a Friday I wish I'd forget. And what's those good for us? A sorry Saturday. But Sunday's coming. Because I get to go to the house of God, and forgive me sometime if I might be a little distracted. But I come with the intent today that I am going to visit and worship and bless the name above all names. And His name is Jesus. That's my mindset. Even if you have a responsibility in this church, you do it with simplicity, with excellency, and you do it right. But the climax, the pinnacle, is that no matter what I do today, I am coming to see Jesus. And that's the bottom line. All right, so He raised on that day. And secondly, Jesus manifested Himself that day to the disciples. It says that the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." What's the first day of the week, church? That's our Christian Sabbath. It's been moved from Saturday to Sunday, and Jesus changed it, not man. Let me give you the third one. The third reason that Christians should observe Sunday is the Sabbath. The early Christian church gathered together on this day in worship. Listen to this. In Acts 20 and 7, Luke said, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And watch this, and there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. You see, them people went to church on a Sunday night. Did you see that? Woo! We're missing something. No. Y'all missing something. I'm here. And praise God to the ones who come with me. I love you. The other ones, I like you. But we're getting there. Hey! But the church were gathered. The early church was gathered. And do you know that Paul preached 6 hours? And then that little man fell out the window because he went to sleep. Paul was boring. And y'all won't even come here? He did. And it said in his study, he preached 6 hours that night. He was going to preach and he got on the ship the next day. Praise God. But see, the early church, so watch this. So why should we keep Sunday and why should it be different? It's because on this very morning, before the sun come up, the Son of God did. Number two, we should look at this day because Jesus Christ, after His resurrection, manifested Himself to His church on this day. Amen. I want God to manifest Himself here. And now, on the third one, the early church took His advice and said, Sunday is the day that we will meet. Because in that upper room that night, there were many lights, the Bible said. Not just a handful. A lot of lights. Amen? Well, we're going to pack this place out tonight. I ain't there. Yeah, I am. But were you coming? I'll give you the last thing in closing. Maybe it's like in the old days, though, church. Listen to this. I love y'all. Watch this. Maybe it's like in the old days when ponies and mules were used to haul out the coal in the mining camp. A man asked a little boy why there were so many ponies and mules out in the fields on Sunday. The little boy answered, "They work all week in the mine. We bring them up on Sunday so they won't go blind. You know where God's church is today? So many of us, if we just be honest and lay our pride aside, we're in the mine all week long. We're in a cold and dark world who cares nothing for you. And the only one who proved himself and shows himself even today is you. And see, if we don't take our Sabbath back, if we don't remember it and keep it holy, then we're going to go blind. Let me tell you what the truth is this morning. Hear me now. There's some of us already blind. Spiritually blind. Can't see it. And I pray some way, somehow, that God will use our time that He has given us. So He has blessed us this morning. That maybe some way, somehow, He could open our eyes of our souls that are blind and realize and look back a little bit on what He did on this day. But knowing these things, what can we do? Romans 14 says this. One man esteemeth one day above another. Hear me, church, we're almost done. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. This is what Paul said. He wants us to be fully persuaded in your own mind this morning. That he that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. But he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us live to himself, and no man in here will die to yourself. You don't eat by yourself, for yourself. You're not going to die by yourself. So what can we do this morning? There's one thing God asked us to do, and this is what He did in Genesis 2:2. He took in His plan, before He ever created anybody like us, He said, I just want them to regard this day and hold it in high esteem, which means to observe this day. God did it. He deemed it necessary that God, the Creator, needed to take a rest, a refreshment, so He could reflect. And rejoice He did when He said, it is good. This morning, we've come here for a variety of different reasons. But can I share with you that this day has been set aside so that we can rest? How can you worship God Almighty if you don't even take time to back out of your own living? See, in that time of rest where you take a break, you're really able to see God there. And see, that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to see Him and observe this day. And can I tell you this morning, I felt His presence this morning as strong as I have in several weeks. But when we were singing this morning, I hope you can realize when God's in the house, because you can just feel Him. He just bears witness with your soul, and it's almost like He just walks through the crowd and He just kind of leans down and He says, I'm here. I'm here. And He wants us on this day to worship God on the Lord's day. Watch this. If you don't get it, parent, if you don't grasp this, guess what your children think this day is? It's another day. You know what a lot of parents do a lot of times? Seem like every week they got to get away from the grind. Every week. But they go in the opposite direction of church. I can't figure that out. But guess what their kids grow up thinking? The way for me to get rest and refreshment and be able to rejoice and have a good life is to run as far as I can away from God. That's what you teach them without ever opening your words, because your actions speak volumes, right? But unless we as God's people, listen now, it's up to us, because there's a generation going to follow us. If God continues and He tarries and He doesn't come back, there's going to be another generation behind us. So what we do on this day is not just for this year. It is not just for this generation, but it is for the generations to come. And if we don't put an emphasis, if we don't take the Christian Sabbath back, if we don't get specific about it, if we don't take our lives and live our weeks leading up to this day, then our children will continue. And what will they say? Where will they go from weekend? Where it was a holy Sabbath, and then it was just a Sunday, and the weekend, and what will it be? Unless we, listen to me, let me shake you this morning. Unless we take this day back. Because it's hollow when it's supposed to be hallowed. And we do that by just simply observing what God has already taught. So He's here this morning. He can help me and you. And truth be known, we as a church sometimes ought to just repent for God and just say, God, help me. And see, you may have any kind of need you got this morning, whatever it may be. God can help you. See, He may be spot my ask our folks to come make a ready invitation. I'm gonna ask you, I'm gonna give you just a moment. Here, listen, this is your time. But see, God maybe spoke to your heart this morning, Christian, in this service, and you want to just come and pray. I invite you to do that. God maybe spoke to your heart in some way leading up to this service, and you want to come, whatever the need may be. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to let God deal with your life. So would you stand with me? Every head bowed, eyes closed. This morning, if God has spoke to your heart, this morning we're going to sing just a verse. But I want you just to pray with me, if you will. Every head bowed, eyes closed. Christians are praying. This is Sunday. This is our Sabbath. This is the Lord's day. And you're standing right slap dab in the middle of it. How's it feel, Christian? How's it feel? But can we this morning really examine? Socrates said a life not worth living if it's unexamined. And this morning, take this time that God has given you like you may never have another chance. Because, oh God, how we need true worship. But God, before we can do that, we've got to be refreshed. We got to take a break. We got to step back. And God, You spoke to hearts this morning. And God, I pray this morning as we sing, that Your Holy Spirit would move with liberty and have Thine own way in Jesus' name. I